All right, we're here at MindVention, and this is the first activity of the day. The first reporting over here inside right after the attendee meeting, and I'm talking with Pete. Also, and of course, I'm Paul Draper. Hey, guys.
Hi there. Great to have you.
And I wanted to talk with both of you then briefly, first of all, because I had mentioned earlier in the frontal lobe on the front end when we the earlier one I had posted, because I couldn't pronounce Pete's last name. Tell me how do you pronounce the name exactly?
Exactly, Poskiparta.
See, now why couldn't I have said that?
Yeah, Finnish language is totally phonetical. So everything you see, you pronounce it exactly how it's written.
Poskiparta.
Yeah. Pete is Pette.
Pette.
Yeah, but Pete is easier for you, so just Pete.
Pete, just Pete. Just I like Pete. That, okay.
Finland, where
yeah,
I want Finlandia. To be.
Think about this, I'm Finnish, and people asking me after dinner, are you Finnish? And I have to say yes,
yes.
And yes.
Do you want any dessert?
Yeah.
No, I'm Finnish.
I'm Finnish, I can.
Paul, you just emceed the show over here, did a good job, and this was the attendee show, and it's
right.
Obviously not the first time show, like, at Fectors, we always have, like, the first timers show, in the afternoon is, like, the first time people have,
right.
have done, but these are people that who have not necessarily just been here the first time, although I think
some of them
Trixie and Dixie
was their first time,
from Copenhagen.
Coming all the way from Denmark, right,
yeah.
And we had a very international group, we had people from Denmark and Sweden and Argentina, and as far away as Bakersfield, California. The people were up on stage and did a great job. It's a great place to showcase your mentalism to the community, to show us what you do, to let Danny and Robert see you perform so they may book you for our future conventions.
That's
and
right.
So it's a wonderful opportunity that Danny and Robert give two attendee shows per MindVention in order to see who's out there and what talent we may not have seen.
Yeah, good idea. And you just got in, you were just saying you were working at the Magic Castle.
Right.
Last night, what was the story?
So, oh man, I'm going to tell it. Okay, so I was working the Magic Castle last night in the Peller Theater, and I drove in last night after the shows on a whim. I wasn't going to drive in till today, and I got in at about 5 o'clock in the morning and posted on Facebook that I was going to sleep until 1. But at 12:30, I received a frantic call from Danny saying, Paul, you're going to MC the attendee show, aren't you? Luckily, I live 3 miles from the Strip, and I said, absolutely, I'll be right there. So I threw on the same outfit that I wore at the Magic Castle last night. I even have the same socks on, but clean underwear, Mom. Clean underwear. And ran right... And ran right here, got on stage 5 minutes before the show, and emceed. What a great attendee show. What a fun time.
It was. You're wide awake and bushy tail. You look like you've been awake since this morning.
You came in and you asked immediately, hey, where's the show? Where's the show?
Oh, I'm right there.
Where is it? That?
It all went well. Well, this is great. I'm looking forward to it. Anything in the particular that you're looking forward to seeing or hearing?
You know, there's a lot of great stuff coming up. We have the fantastic corporate speaker, Shep Haken, who's going to be coming up, and I'm excited about that. We're going to have Rick Ma's farewell lecture. He's going to be very missed. He's a brilliant mind in mentalism and has given a lot to the art. Eugene Berger is speaking, and Richard Osterlund. What a great lineup of people we have at this convention.
Yep, we really do. Yep, it's always a good convention. I'm going to talk to Danny and Robert when I get a chance then also. And Pete, when did you get in from Finland? Just yesterday or a few days ago?
Wednesday, yeah.
So we had a chance then to kind of catch up on jet lag and
Get
to sleep and adjust it to the Pacific time and out here.
It's not that bad when I'm coming here. It's bad
going
when
back.
I get getting, yeah when
okay.
I'm going back.
Heading back the other direction. So you had a chance to see any other shows or things while you were here?
Yeah, yesterday I was watching the Penn and Teller.
Great show.
Again, yeah, great show.
Yeah. And it's not always again because they have new things every time.
Yeah, there was a new things, yeah. So I like it very much. So and also Matt King was yesterday. It was brilliant again. So I'm looking for this convention, and of course tomorrow I have my own
lecture.
I have a lecture tomorrow, and I just finished my lecture notes. So
I'm
doing just like you do. Then 5 minutes before the
right,
lecture. Well, my lecture notes. Where are they?
We'll make sure to get them dated and signed so they'll be worth something. The very first ones.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
literally hot off the press.
Yeah,
great. Great. All right, Peter and Paul, we'll be looking for Mary later.
Yeah, that's right. Pop the magic dragon.
We'll see you after a while. Scotty out. Oh, I like like to have a little ambient noise. Hey, Scott Wells here again, and we're in the dealer's room, and I'm here with Steve Brooks from the Magic Cafe. Hey.
Hey, what's going
like,
on, Scott?
I feel like I should be having a cup of coffee with you or something over here. You know, we are in the cafe almost.
This is 24/7.
That's right. It's always open. You like it. Now, I want to ask you that you've, is this your first, first of all, the first Mindvention?
Or? This is actually the first Mindvention. I'm usually hanging around all the crazy magicians. So.
I was going to say, that's where I normally see like a magic live.
No, you know, but so many of my friends are into the mentalism thing, so yeah. I thought I'd check it out, yeah.
We had, I think, a better turnout this year than in previous years. I haven't had a chance to talk to Danny and Robert yet, but so what do you think so far? You've gone to the lectures and all?
No, I haven't had a chance to do the lectures. I just actually got here probably about 45 minutes ago.
Okay.
So
I missed the panel discussion they just had on the book test.
Right, you know, so I missed that on that, but hey, I'm going to be here, so
yeah,
I'm ready.
You're not going to miss a lot more then.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
There's some more stuff that's going to be coming out later this evening. That of course, Eugene Berger is going to be lecturing us. See Paul Veal's performance.
Oh, Paul's the man.
Yeah.
Everybody listening, Paul Veal. You have to see this man. He's incredibly good.
Yeah. Have you? Are you going to go over to see him also when he's downtown at the King's Inc?
Yes, I am actually.
Okay.
I think
on Wednesday night.
Yeah, Wednesday night.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's kind of an intimate thing, you know. Have you already got tickets or?
No, but I have this distinct. I have this impression in my mind that tickets will appear.
They could be available, huh? Very cool. And so as for the cafe, that how do you determine or when do you decide that you're actually going to open a new channel, if you will, or a new area? I mean, you find like at some point that there is enough interest in one particular area or another that it deserves its own area?
That's actually basically what happens. Take, for example, the current card section.
Yeah.
Pick a card, any card.
Okay.
And you'll notice inside there you've got gaff decks and memorized deck work and just sleight of hand. You've got all these separate forums.
Sure.
But at one time, we had one forum. It was just called Pick a Card, Any Card.
Yeah,
and what happened after about 2-3 years, people were going in there and it's just they're trying to find things and it's just.
Only find gaff cards
just,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Mean.
And so at that point, enough people were saying, gosh, Steve, you know, these kids come in here, for instance, and they're talking about the new Black Tiger decks. Could you make a special section just for that?
Yeah.
And I thought about it. And I thought, you know, there's enough varied interest in enough areas that Pick a Card deserves its own whole section.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can, like, distinguish, you know, gimmick decks and memorized decks and this and that. And I even have, I think there's even a section on there with the jumbo decks and the miniature decks.
Yeah.
And so it allows someone to just, if that's what they're interested in, they can just go for that. But
so,
yeah, if there's enough people talking about it and it seems like a good idea, then I have no problem expanding it. But as you know, the cafe is so big.
Oh, yeah. Right. With how many members now?
30,000? Well, you know, technically we're up in the 40-some-odd thousand. Of course, obviously not all those people are there posting every day.
Right.
But we're into the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of visitors per day.
Okay.
So you've got people who are just lurkers. They're never going to log in.
Right.
You've got people, and it's not just magicians, by the way. You've got producers, directors, writers. I get calls from like the History Channel or Discovery Channel. Oh, we're doing a program on magic, and we were reading the cafe. So it's not just the magicians coming there. You've got other people in the entertainment field who are doing research on things, and they come there to find things.
Right.
So, yeah, so it's quite varied.
So it is kind of arbitrary as to what you decide. I mean, just on your own, you said, it looks like we probably have enough posts. We probably should have their own category.
Yeah, it gets to the point where I'll even notice things.
Yeah.
And then the problem also becomes once you've got
it could die.
So many different areas, there's certain things that crisscross.
That's
in other
true.
Words,
yeah.
it's
yeah.
appropriate for this section, but it could sort of fit over in this section.
Yes.
So
you don't double post them, do you?
Yeah. No. We try to avoid the double post thing. So sometimes you make a call. Like, for instance, the latest and greatest forum. It's not a review area. It's just when something you hear about something coming out and people are talking about it. And
kind
once
buzz.
It's out and people are actually, hey, I just bought this. Well, now it's become a review. Now we're going to move the thread to the review area.
Okay.
So there is rhyme and reason to it. I know it seems like total chaos, but you've been there enough, you know.
Oh, sure. No, I know. Well, it's interesting that you say that there are others who are outside the magic community who are kind of lurking and looking at this to see how it might help them.
Yeah, and I don't believe, you know, before anybody panics, it's not like there's secret lurkers. Oh, we're going to go to the cafe and learn secrets, you know. I think most people are ADD, you know. They don't have the patience to be digging through 10 million posts to find a secret.
Right.
If you're worried about secrets, worry about YouTube.
Right, that's for sure. You know, I really don't see that many secrets that are, none actually, that are exposed. I mean, even they talk about the thumb tip as a TT or whatever, you know.
No, but it's just the kids who don't know how to perform it correctly.
Yeah.
They just expose it by their... poor handling.
Yeah,
these are usually professionals who are just a lot of writers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who are writing children's books that have magicians in them and things like that. So they're not there to learn secrets. They're there to find out things. You know, like one person I remember contacted me and asked about the history of magic wands. Well, how does that? How do these things come along? And then I recommended. I had a review on a book that had come out. I can't even recall the title, and I feel really bad. Really good book on the history of the wand, and she got that, and she was all happy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think magicians just get too paranoid, that, you know.
A little bit over some things. And again, that you do have the area where it's, where they can discuss secrets after they have had so many posts, which I think is important.
Yeah, it's 50,
so you've proven that you have an interest and you're not just idly curious and you're passing
through. Well, and I think curiosity seekers, they're not going to hang out. Get 50 bucks. Give me a break.
Exactly.
Come on.
Yeah. You've got some dedication at that point, I would say, you know, or no life. So what is the long-term plan? Or what's, I mean, everything's kind of, I don't see that it has changed a lot from its, it doesn't need to. I mean,
it's a work in progress.
It is organic, I understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like a painting. We're continuously changing. We're working on several things that we actually.
It's laid out well. I mean, it's easy to find stuff. I mean, I don't want you to change like Facebook did, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people. We have a lot of changes coming up this next year.
Okay.
And a lot of new features. A lot of people are going to be really happy. There'll be some people that won't be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. We can live with that. I think one of the biggest questions people always, they'll email me and say, what happened to the search engine?
Yes,
this is a big thing.
I was going to come to that,
this
too.
This is the big thing. Okay. So here we go. You heard it from the horse's mouth. Nothing's happened to the search engine. We had to make some decisions on the search engine.
Yeah.
And they're not permanent decisions. They're just right now decisions. Let me give you an example. My son, Chris, he's into Japanese anime.
Okay.
So he goes to these really big Japanese anime websites. And they'll have, like, you know, 300,000 members.
Wow.
Okay, you know, a lot of members.
Yeah.
And millions and millions and millions and millions of posts. If you go to use their search engine, it only goes back 30 days. That's it. If it's older than 30 days, too bad.
They move on.
Our search engine goes back to day one.
All right, let's pick that up again. We seem to have dropped something over there. So you were saying again that the search engine goes back to day one.
And this is what you get for buying generic recording devices.
No.
Anyway, basically the thing is, so on the search engine is designed so that when you enter a term, it's going to go back. If you enter Brainwave Deck, it's going to go back to day one that the cafe was there and search through every post ever made in any form.
Right.
That's a lot different than going into a website, putting a word in, and it goes back 30 days.
Yeah. Because you were saying earlier over here that we did
report. Almost 4 million posts.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Is that right? Over, since day one? Because you started which year?
It was about, I think we started it, I think it was September 7th, 2001. Because just a few days later, 9/11. Yeah,
okay.
9/11 happened. So.
Okay. One way of kind of looking at that. But yeah, this is, as you said, a new thing. It's you can't really tip it, but there's something that you were saying that you're next year.
Yeah, we're working on several new features that everyone's going to like.
Yeah.
And it's just taking us time. And we are trying to come up with a... the best solution possible for the search engine.
Yeah.
So, if all things being equal, would probably be done, but that's never the case, of course. And things always come along you don't plan on, so you have to deal with that. There's always the money issue. Time. Just time sometimes.
Right.
It takes time to change things. And
it is
so
a time-drawing thing. I mean, a sucking thing, I guess. It takes so much of your time.
You know, it just sucks you in like a black hole, you know?
And you were saying earlier that as far as money goes, I mean, this is not, you're not driving a Ferrari.
No. Yeah. Those of you who think I'm driving a Ferrari or a Porsche and living in a penthouse, you're on glue. I hate to tell you, but whoever's telling you these things, bad. Very bad.
It's a labor of love, yeah.
However, anybody out there who's a multimillionaire who would like to give me a Porsche, I would, of course, take one.
You'd take it. Well, anyhow, done a great job, and good luck in the future. I know it's going to continue to thrive and grow.
Well, and I appreciate you coming on and talking with me,
you bet,
Scott.
Steve. Okay, good enough.
And it's been fun.
Hope you enjoy the MindVention over here. This should continue to be just some great performers and lectures and things. So this being your first, you'll learn a lot. Maybe you can post something when
Looking
you get back then, too.
That.
Good. Thanks a lot. Scotty out. All right, I'm still here in the dealer's room and just moved over to Lil Sanders' table and ran into Timothy Kripe, who we saw at Mays. Didn't have a chance to chat over there at the convention, but hello and welcome.
Hello.
I wanted to talk with you about, happened to mention this was your first of the MindVentions.
Yes, this is my first MindVention ever, which is great for me. I've always wanted to come.
Yeah, and you said you've always been interested in mentalism? Or what?
Yes, it's always been my favorite form of magic.
Really?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It's glad to finally be around nothing but mentalists and stuff, which is nice.
Are you a member of the PEA?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I'm trying to sign up for it and everything right now.
What is your specific interest? I mean, what part of mentalism, what type do you like?
I am performing as a psychic entertainer. I do the whole tarot and the Q&A acts and stuff like that.
Okay, so do you do psychic readings and those kinds of things then as well?
Stuff.
Okay, so you're familiar with John Riggs and all that kind of thing.
Of course.
I guess Mark Strivings and some of these kinds of things. And Mark's over here then, too.
Mark's right over there.
Okay. So who, aside from those guys, who have been some influences in your...
Darren Brown, Max Maven, Luke Germay, those guys, and more recently, Ross Johnson. I met him, and he really inspired me. Recently, this year alone, I've met a lot of new inspirations, which has been great.
And you certainly will here. I mean, you come to a very good one. I mean, like through Ted Karmilovich here, I'm really excited, we've corresponded for a long time. I've known him through Banachek, but I've never really had a chance to sit and chat, so hopefully a little bit later I'm going to have some more time to actually talk with him a little bit, but he's a very creative guy. And of course, Rick Mao is, and this is going to be great.
Rick,
his
is
last
great.
Lecture, then too, his farewell lecture. Should be interesting. And so, again, you're working over here with Lil Sanders. You've known him for then some time, I assume.
Yeah, I've known him for just over a year personally. So,
and so you work his booth.
Yes, I do work his booth when he's not around and when he is.
Okay. Have you been at many other conventions throughout this year with him?
Oh yeah, a ton. I've been to Magic at the Beach, a bunch of conventions. So, Maze, WMS, Magic Live, all those conventions.
Let me go back on this convention. As for the MindVention, what was it that, aside from coming and working with Dirk over here, what was, how'd you find out, or what made you really want to come to the, I know you like mentalism, but I mean, was there something that you heard or saw or read or...
Well, I mean, a long time back, I looked up mentalism conventions.
Okay.
Because I really wanted to meet a bunch of mentalists. And this is about 3 years ago, and I heard about MindVention. And I was like, that's cool. And I didn't get a chance to come until this year because, obviously, we met him, and we found some time in our schedules. So
awesome. Okay.
I'm so glad that I'm here.
Yeah. Because it seems like there had been some other mentalism conventions. The Weird Weekend and things like that, which I don't believe they hold anymore.
Yeah.
But, so this is pretty much it, I think, as far as just the mentalism. Isn't it? You're aware of? Okay.
Yeah.
So one last question. Then, what is it that you're most wanting, you're looking forward to taking home and learning at this convention?
There's a couple things. I'm hoping that I can get some really good tips on more reading-y stuff. I want to keep going in that direction.
Yep.
More Q&A kind of knowledge accumulated.
Sure.
And sometimes, more than anything, I want to learn a lot about more visual, maybe entertaining premises to add into my mentalism so that it becomes even more entertaining.
Ah, makes sense. One final question that would have to do with the word. Speaking of a magic word, what would be a word that you would use?
A magic word?
Yeah.
What's
your favorite word? Maybe it could be a word that you live by, you know, in life or in magic or something that is a credo.
I live by sentimental.
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 That's good, particularly for a psychic. I would think that's right, because it is all sentimental.
That's
good.
Right.
Timothy, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you,
Thanks
Scott.
For your time. I hope you enjoy the mindvention.
Yes, I will.
Okay, that's Timothy. This is Scotty out.
3-hour tape on how to use the thumb tip.
Yep. Hey, Gary Darwin here. I want to talk with you about that, by the way. Tell me about your... I know you had Thumb Tip Miracles. Was that what it was?
That was my first book about 25 years
ago.
Yep,
I got a copy of that. And
Thumb Tip Thinking. That came along a few years later. And then Thumb Tip Secrets. That came along.
Okay. And they're all different. There's so many things.
Yeah,
like you said, you got 2 hours with a thumb tip.
I've invented about 200 originalities with a thumb tip.
Wow.
And then we finally made the Encyclopedia Thumb Tip 3-hour on the thumb tip by the Penguin people.
Now, is that the DVD that's out, say?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been out.
And that's called what?
The Encyclopedia Thumb Tips.
Encyclopedia Thumb Tips.
Yeah.
And they all include your original effects.
Everything.
Everything.
I haven't invented too much since. Now my mind is on something else. Mentalism.
You've had a long and illustrious career. Yeah, and you're here at the Mentalism Convention.
Well, I'm here. I have what is known as the sixth sense. That's because I don't have the other five. But I do have a lot on my mind, but it's a vacant lot. I had a very bad accident yesterday. A thought struck me. But at least I have an open mind. Can you feel the breeze from here?
Yes, I can.
I'm writing a new book, 101 Mentalistic Jokes and Hypnotism Jokes. And now I'd like to hypnotize you instantly. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Instant hypnosis.
Thank you.
Yeah, get this on film. Look into my eyes. Now close your eyes. Dark, isn't it? Wake up. That's it.
So it's kind of like the Henny Youngman of mentalism type of jokes and kinds of
Henny
things.
Was a big influence. He wrote a book called 10,000 One-Liners, and I keep it in the John. You learn one joke a day, and as years go by, you have a lot of humor hit away.
You've been in magic for how long? It's got to be
over 60 years.
60 years.
Yeah.
And you have influenced so many people, and it's all been out of here in Las Vegas, I guess. Is that right? Or?
I moved here 54 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Started out in San Diego. My teacher, Tommy Wu, managed the San Diego Magic Shop. He taught me the fundamentals. Then we moved to Tucson. Then my parents decided to move to Vegas. And this is truly the magic mecca of the world right here.
You saw it go through a lot of different changes, when magic was out and then in and out.
Yeah, we have about 30 magicians working in Vegas right now. It's become legal to work streets now, too.
I did not know that.
Street magicians.
With a permit.
Don't even need a permit.
You don't.
From what I gather.
Hmm.
I signed a contract with the Dunes, and that was before it was legal. It was a good contract, but they wouldn't let me do it. So that was sad, but I worked the Lido, I worked Hello America, and I was the first afternoon lounge magician that ever worked in Vegas.
Now, what kind of act did you do? Did you do silks and things?
I love the classics, the Chinese rings. My routine's quite different. The zombie, quite different. You can do the classics, just do them different. Billiard balls, thimbles, backhand palming.
Talking act, or was it,
I didn't talk for years, and then I started talking, and I haven't been booked since. It's called the W.C. Fields Center. Remember, W.C. Fields was a nice-looking little thin juggler. Then he got old, fat, and ugly, and he became quite good. So I'm just not ugly enough yet, but we're going to make it.
Now, you had Darwin's Magic Shop here for a long number of years.
Never had a shop. I had Darwin's Magic Club.
Club, sorry.
We just had our 46th anniversary.
Right. Wednesday, was that right?
Yeah, for the last 46 years at Boomers when you come to
On
Vegas.
Wednesdays, at midnight.
Always on Wednesdays.
Okay.
And we do it a little earlier now, about 10 o'clock.
Oh, you do them earlier, okay.
Until about 2 in the morning.
Okay.
And then I've written 17 books, and we've got about 25 DVDs out now. I try to stay busy. Go any direction you want with magic. I've invented over 600 effects. I haven't got them all in print yet. The one has gone all over the world. I invented it 40 years ago. Dove from Kleenex. Ever heard of it?
I have, sure have.
Point comfort Kleenexes. There's a Dove.
Yeah.
Very cheap effect. So for you Dove workers.
I think I saw Tony Clark do something.
Yeah, Tony actually put it on the market and didn't know where it came from, so I had to make a phone call to him.
I know. He did that on Jeff Hobson's lecture network.
Yeah, and then Lance did it when he was a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I invented it about 42 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've simplified it. Dove from toilet paper. Just show the toilet paper and wrap it up. And there's a Dove from nowhere.
Yep.
And then tear off a piece and give out your business card.
Now, is there one type of magic you prefer more than another? In other words,
sleight of hand is beautiful. Yeah. It's inexpensive. I went into illusions for a while. Because when I was a kid, you could buy all those Abbott illusions for $150.
Yeah.
And now those same illusions are going for $2,000 or $3,000.
Oh, sure.
I'm glad I kept a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Siegfried and Roy moved into town. Their illusions were so gorgeous, I just went back into sleight of hand.
Besides, no one's going to top them. They are.
No, everything was just gorgeous.
How are they doing? They're good friends of yours, I know.
Yeah, they live behind me. They're totally retired.
Yeah.
Roy,
how's he doing?
Mentally, he's all right, but he's going to be stuck in a wheelchair. It's pretty sad.
Yeah. So he's homebound most of the time, or does he get out much? Or?
Yeah, I just went to his birthday. He gets around.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Now, sleight of hand has been your favorite, and that's your...
Yeah, I like sleight of hand. Remember, the hand is quicker than the thigh. I mean, the eye.
That's how I got the black eye, yeah.
Yeah, sleight of hand, it depends.
Cards,
I'm very
coins, anything in particular that you like more? I mean, you do obviously thumb tips, I guess.
I carry a thimble with me because it's small, and you're always waiting. You're waiting for a dentist. You're waiting in the bank. You can practice your little thimble, and nobody knows.
Yeah.
So it's better than just sitting there watching a fly go up a drape.
Yeah.
And I like backhand palming, and billiard ball's really fond of that. I made a videotape on most of it. And I love the Chinese rings. But my routine is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Fool's Magician. I love the zombie. And I just love the classics, and that's probably where I went wrong. If I'd have thought of something like Marvin Roy, just light bulbs or
just one thing,
a floating violin or something, I'd have probably had a bigger career. But your magic can go any direction you want. You can dedicate yourself to a magic club or a museum or inventing or writing. Or I got a new album on debunking.
Right.
I've debunked a lot of phony religions, cults, and superstitions. And when you don't believe in anything, you become a philosopher. I am now a philosopher.
Okay.
And my philosophy, just follow the golden rule.
Which is?
That's Confucius, 500 years before Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That's the golden rule. It's that simple. You don't have to read a whole damn Bible to figure out what you're supposed to do in life. It's that simple.
So that's why you live by.
If you've got anything, if you've got anything simpler, I'll steal it from you.
So that's your magic word, I guess, would be simple.
Well, yeah, simplicity is the whole secret.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's too complicated now. So I simplified. Religious people know for certain there's God. Atheists know for certain there is no God. I know one thing for certain. I know nothing for certain. And that's a very bad cough you've got.
Yeah.
There's a new cure for it. Have you heard about it?
No, what's that?
You drink a quarter prune juice, you'll never cough. You'll be afraid to.
Afraid to cough. Yeah, a new thing called afraid to cough.
That's another album. It's called Reaction Ad Libs. How to react no matter whatever's around you. How to get your mic goes bad. People come in late. You forget your lines. There's a big noise backstage. The waiter drops a tray of dishes. So it's called Reaction Ad Libs.
Reaction Ad Libs. Like, you say you got a book on that, or you're writing one?
It's a DVD. I let the audience ask me about 100 questions, and I give you three effects. Let's say you got a small audience.
Yeah.
Now, you walk out, and you've only got maybe two or three people. What are you going to say?
Thank all of you, or both of you.
Yeah, that's fine. You say, gee, I outweigh my audience, or you all come in the same Volkswagen. Or if it's a little risque, you seem to get more or less. I usually say, I'm not saying this is a small audience, but I've been in bed with more people.
Okay.
It's a nightclub town, so you can use that.
That's right, yeah.
Now, where's your hometown?
It wouldn't be like for a church group or something.
Well, where's your
Houston, home? Houston, Texas.
Oh, I drove through there once. It was closed. Get out of there. Come to Vegas.
Yeah.
But how do you bury a Texan?
With his boots on.
No, you give him an enema and put him in a shoebox. So most of them are full of Sorry, you Texans, but I lived in Amarillo, and I'm not that fond of Texas.
You were there long enough. And
I remember my mom took me to a movie, and there was some old bald-headed actor that did the zombie. I thought, what the hell? And that was about 1946 when it was invented.
Uh-huh.
He was an old German actor, and he played the part of a magician.
Interesting.
But I'll never forget when my grandfather vanished a cigarette in a hanky, and I was 6 years old, and I've never been the same.
That's the excuse ever since then.
Love that old thumb tip.
All right. We're going to wrap it up over here, and we'll let you draw a profile over here. Yes.
Yeah, all the great magicians are dead now. Thurston's dead, and Houdini's dead, and Blackstone is dead.
And how you feeling?
And I'm not feeling good. Hey, you're jumping on my big line there. I worked up to that line. So. But I am the second world's greatest magician. You probably wonder, who's the first? All the rest of you. There, you didn't know that one.
That was a good one. Thank you, Gary Darwin. This is okay, Scotty L. All right, Scott Wells here again, and I just happened to be lucky enough to find two guys I've been looking for at the same time, and they've just taken a break before dinner, Danny Archer and Robert Allen. Hey, guys.
Hi. Hi, Scott.
And thank you again for putting on what has already started out as just a wonderful Mindvention. The 8th annual Mindvention, is that what it is?
The 8th, I believe. Sorry, 8th Mindvention. The other year, another Mindvention.
You know, and each year seems like it's getting better. You know, last year I remember with Bob Cassidy and Banachek and Colin, you know, it's kind of, you know, the young, the middle, and the old, you know, kind of guard. And this year with Rick Mao giving his farewell lecture and Tom Karvalevich, we haven't seen and everything. So, I mean, you guys are really, you know, getting some nice heavy hitters and everything.
I credit that to Danny. Danny's the guy who gets the talent.
And I have to take the credit.
You're the one paying.
Somebody's got to do that. So, yeah, make a perfect couple then.
Yeah, exactly. I handle the dollars, he handles the talent.
So how did you kind of come up with the ideas of that as to who you're going to be choosing from year to year?
You know, normally at this point now, the guys, you know, I know who's out there.
Yeah.
It's a
pretty finite and small group of members.
Well, initially, remember we were
talking. And a lot of people now call him.
Yeah.
You know, they used to be we were calling out. Now they say, hey, when can I do Mindvention? So a lot of times, in fact, we've got people waiting for next year because we can't get them all into 1 year and we don't
exactly.
want to anyway.
Like, you know, this year we have 11 acts or performers. That's, I think, the most we ever had. We're starting tomorrow in the next 2 days at 10 o'clock, an hour earlier, just to try to get everybody in.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. I tell everybody that we don't really announce the talent until after this convention. But Colin McLeod, Colin, if you're listening, I think we're gonna book Mr. McLeod again.
He was great. I sure miss him this year.
He was very popular. And there's a number of people here that that I'm interested in. And you know, some people like, you know, Pete and Jen went from being in the attendee show, and now they're going to be, you know, performing lectures here. So
I was about to ask that. That was one of the things that you had mentioned about how that the people will be performing in the attendee show, and that kind of is a showcase in a way, so people say, hey, that was pretty cool. I'd like to see that guy. Like the fellow who did the Staples, Jack from Argentina.
Right.
Not Argentina.
No, the Staples was Mick from Sweden.
Sweden, okay.
Right. Yeah. Argentina was the other guy.
Yes.
Jack.
Yeah.
Jack
was
there. They were
both
good.
Yeah. Very excellent, both of them.
So those are guys.
And see, that's a good showcase not only for our guys that come, but it's a showcase for us because we can go, hey, he's good enough to book, maybe not next year, but the year after or whatever. We get a lot of talent out of that.
And sometimes they'll start with like a small lecture, a mini lecture, and then, you know, go into, you know, the full lecture.
Right.
So.
You know, I kind of see this as being a 4F for mentalists, you know, because it's a small, almost invitational. I mean, it's open to everybody, you know, but at this point.
And we mean everybody.
So please come.
And no animals, please. No 4F.
But the talent that is drawn from around the world, you know, like Fectors has people, you know, that Obi always brings people from all over the world.
You got Spain this time, Argentina, Germany, Denmark, Sweden, Switzerland, Canada, Mexico,
Japan. Australia,
Malaysia. I mean, they're coming
Japan
from everywhere.
Sure.
It's amazing.
Malaysia, yeah. Just
we actually even have some people from the United States. It's amazing.
All the way from Houston, even. So what was the attendance here this year?
Well, it's going to be right around 140 by the time we're done, by tomorrow.
Which is more than, I mean, last year was like 97 or something.
No,
100
last
or something,
year was around 122.
Was it? Okay.
Maybe about 20 more people.
Okay, it seemed like it was bigger this year than last, because I know we had to expand the room.
Yeah, we're going to open up the wall so we can get a few
tomorrow,
more
seats. We should be at about 140, because there's about 40 guys that haven't picked up their stuff yet. So.
Okay, so tell me about that. What was the decision that you decided to move the wall? all?
We had to because the people weren't. I said by the final show, everyone is not going to fit in the room. We've got
to
do something.
It's open to the public on Tuesday. Where do we put those 50 people?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so then we're going to be sitting on top of each other.
Masters
of
Magic.
So we had to do something.
Yeah.
But it worked out. We moved
the
dealers across the hall and we opened up.
Yeah, I went up to check in and take a shower. I come back and I said, what the hell? The dealer's room's gone.
Yeah, I moved them all on you.
I wonder because you were saying, the dealer's room will remain the same. Look, that's a way, but it's not the same. It's gotten bigger.
Bill Pierce was at dinner or lunch or something.
Yeah, lunch.
And we moved everybody but him because he's got so many books, it was heavy.
Yeah.
So we said, well, when he comes, we'll say, all the guys left. It's so bad this year. You're the only guy left in the room. And he came back and he said, where the hell is everybody?
And then what we're going to do tomorrow, we're going to move everybody back.
keep them guessing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One person that we do miss here, of course, is the gentleman who is in the wheelchair.
Robert Schwartz. Yeah, he passed away last year. And, someone said to me, you're going to say anything in front of the crowd? And I said, I've thought about that. Yeah, maybe we should. Before the final show or something like that. You don't want to remind everyone of a loss because everyone has losses in their life.
No, but I think we should at least say something.
Yeah,
so many people have asked me. He made an impression on me.
He really did. He was a great guy.
He was a wonderful guy.
Yeah.
And he took it seriously. If you didn't have a badge, you weren't going in that
room. For sure. Yeah, he was security.
He didn't let me in.
Yeah, exactly. I miss him. But it looks like there's still just a lot of town, a lot of things that are going to be happening. Any surprises that you still got?
No, this year I don't think we have any real big surprises.
We got a lot of talented people.
It's going to be a powerhouse. We could, Bob Cassidy's here and Banachek, Ken Weber and Ross Johnson. There's a lot of talented people.
Just came to hang out.
Yeah,
and that's
we don't know if they're coming or not. They just show up.
That's what Banachek had told me. He said, I think I'm going to go this year. We were talking, a few months ago, and he said, I'm not sure. I said, because I'm not working. But then he said, all my buddies are going to be there. He said, I want to come and not work. And just relax.
Well, you never know. We get Penn and Teller. We get all kinds of people who show up here. We never know.
I know on Tuesday, at the final show, we have the local
and
celebrity
King and you never know who's going to show up, really.
Yeah, exactly.
But we don't invite, not that we don't, they're certainly welcome to come, but we don't really know they're coming. They just show up.
Who shows up? Yeah, we've got a lot of locals. Exactly. Well, again, you guys have done a very good job. I want to thank you very much for hosting this convention, and it looks like there's no end in sight for this thing.
Well, we enjoy it, and I think that's the key. If you didn't enjoy it, it would definitely become predictable.
Well, it's a special group of guys. This is really, it is hard to explain.
The vibe is different than a magic convention.
It really is. It's hard to explain.
Very different vibe. Now, I was a hypnotist mentalist more than a magician, although I did do magic.
Yeah.
My thing is mentalism and hypnotism. And when Danny and I first started, we had a close-up convention, LVMI.
Yeah.
But more and more of those started popping up, and it got to the point where every other week there was a close-up convention.
Yeah,
so
I remember
it was competing with 100 of them. And we both talked about it. He said, what else can we do? So we said, well, let's do mentalism. And so we tried it, and boy, it just took off.
It wasn't that. It was a weird week, then, stopped. Mm-hmm. So this is really the only mentalism convention I know of.
Except for the PEA, which you have to be a member.
True.
And I, couldn't qualify for membership in that group. It's a very tough group to get into.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, they're not really a convention per se, because, again, it's members only for that.
Yeah, but they do a convention.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But many PEA members are here.
Yep, there are. But I know there are a lot of people who are here for a first time also, and they're just all agog, and just looking around. So, this is so much fun.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, that's good. Well, thank you guys again very much.
Hi, Chip.
Danny,
always a pleasure.
Robert, thank you guys very much. Put on a good time. For now, this is Scotty out.